not that long ago, series of stories of thefts of cell phones. People stepping off the light rail at Hiawatha there, the Hiawatha station, and they're on the phone or whatever. Somebody comes by and just grabs it out of their hand, jumps on the leaving train, the departing train or whatever, or takes off, beats feet down the stairs, and there they go with your cell phone. Well, now, there might be less and less reason to be doing that. We're going to go to our tech guy, Julio Ojeda Zapata, who we know from Pioneer Press. Good morning, Julio. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Good, good, good. Have you heard the story about these cell phone providers, the companies that provide the service, actually doing some things, or maybe it's the companies that are making the phones, doing some things that might discourage cell phone theft in the future?
Well, what happened was the feds got all the major carriers, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, to agree to set up a joint database that would list cell phones that were stolen and therefore could be disabled remotely. Up till now, I believe only T-Mobile and AT&T were doing this, Verizon and Sprint were not. And what this effectively does is allows a stolen cell phone, we're talking about the actual cell phone, not the SIM card in it, to be disabled remotely, which is a disincentive for a cell phone to be stolen, because right now if somebody steals your Sprint cell phone, say, they can swap out the SIM cards and keep using the cell phone, because the cell phone itself is perfectly good. But with this new move from the feds, these cell phones could be remotely disabled from afar, and rendering the phone useless, and therefore providing less of an incentive for such devices to be stolen in the first place.
So now AT&T, you said, and did you say T-Mobile, have had this technology and have been utilizing this up already?
As I understand it, they've been doing that already. And this isn't new. The U.S. is a Johnny-come-lately to this whole thing. In most other first world countries, in Europe and so forth, this has been going on for a long time. The problem in the United States is it's very difficult to get the carriers to cooperate on anything. I don't know if you remember SMS messaging. It took them forever to agree to let somebody on one carrier to text message somebody on another carrier. There was a time when you couldn't do that. It was ridiculous. And you can't get the carriers to cooperate. So finally they've come to the table and agreed to sort of put this into place.
Julio Ojeda Zapata, our guest, from Pioneer Press, and he writes a lot of tech stuff there. When we're looking at this is kind of interesting, talking about this, because you're talking about getting them to agree. How long ago was it that they got to agree to the interchange here use of text messaging? I must have come to the text party too late, because I don't ever recall.
This was a pretty long time ago, but I'm just giving you an example. The carriers are very protective of their turf and very competitive, and so it's hard to get them to cooperate. But this move by the feds is a very good one, because it'll put a dent in cell phone theft. But the important thing to keep in mind here, though, is the owner of a cell phone shouldn't relax, because this is something that affects the hardware, not the SIM card, their identity on the phone. So if your phone is stolen and you don't have a lock combination on it, people can still access your personal data. So consumers should educate themselves about ways to erase their own cell phones from afar. If your iPhone gets stolen, if your Windows Phone 7 handset gets stolen, and you have it set up the right way, you can sort of push a button on your computer and erase it wherever it is. So you can do that. It's amazing. And that's something consumers still need to know, regardless of what the feds have done with the carriers and stolen cell phones, because you don't want your information getting in the wrong hands. Literally the second you realize your phone is stolen, you can walk over to your computer, push a couple of buttons, and erase that sucker wherever it is.
Well, I wonder if I could do that. I have a BlackBerry Torch. I wonder if I could do that with that
thing. Some kinds of cell phones have this capability built in, and other kinds of cell phones, you can download apps that let you do that. So one way or another, you should be able to do that. With the iPhone, for instance, you can erase it from afar. Or if you just misplace your cell phone in the house, I'm misplacing my cell phone in the house all the dang time. I go to my computer and I say, make my phone beep. And then my phone starts beeping, and then I start zeroing in on the beeping until I find it. So.
Okay, but see, that's the difference between you and me, Julio. I mean, you know how to do that. So, you know, it's like I can only learn so many more things in my lifetime.
No, it's a three-step process.
Oh, great.
No, seriously, buy an iPhone, sign up for an iCloud account, and then when you set up your iCloud account, check the box that says Find My Phone. That's
okay.
That's it.
Okay, good. Now, the interesting thing about this is now, because you're talking about this change that's going to come about because the federal government has gotten these other carriers or cell phone makers, whatever, to come together and agree to set up a database of identification numbers to make each phone unique so they could just disable that hardware so they wouldn't be able to reuse it. However, they would still be able to, as you say, perhaps pull your SIM card, put it into a different working phone if they wanted your information and not the hardware.
Well, they don't have to pull a SIM card to get their information. They can get it right on the phone.
Yeah, right.
So that's why people should know, you know, how to wipe their phone from afar. There's another interesting. There's a related thing happening with the feds as well. The federal government I read a couple of stories about this. They want to be able to block you from using your cell phone while driving in the car.
Ah.
They've said explicitly they want to do this. I mean, consumers are gonna freak out. But the feds are getting more and more aggressive about discouraging people from using their cell phone in any way whatsoever in the car. So people that are used to driving in their cars with one hand on the wheel, the other hand with the phone up to their ear, which I think is madness. People should, you know, enjoy that while they can, because that's that. At the very least, it's going to be going away.
So they're going to probably at least first get to mandatory hands-free device, in other words.
Yeah, some 10 or 20 years down the road, we're going to look back on a time when you could, you know, hold your cell phone up to the ear while driving and say, that was ridiculous. It's sort of like smoking, you know. A lot more people smoked, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, and people... smoking is going down. It's sort of like that. It's as dangerous as that, and that the federal government is going to be getting more and more aggressive about that in the coming years.
How do you feel, Julio, overall? I mean, because this is, you know, obviously this whole tech area is your life. It's your expertise. You're following all aspects of it. How do you feel about the idea of being able to even allow and use the phone while the vehicle is in motion? Would you be okay with legislation that said not while you're in drive?
Well, I'll give you my personal opinion. I don't have a problem. What I do when I get in my car is I stick my iPhone in the dock, and then if I get a call, I don't answer the call if the car is moving. But if my family is calling me, I'll pull the car over, and then tap a button to activate the speakerphone. And then have a speakerphone conversation. I'm never holding the phone, and at that point, I can sort of get my car in motion again, and have a conversation via speakerphone, which is no different from talking to somebody that's in the seat beside you. I don't see any difference. The problem that I see is people holding their phones while they're driving. It's sort of an accepted thing, but I can't think of anything more absurd and dangerous. It just blows my mind that people do that.
Yeah, because no matter which side of your head you're holding it, on which you're holding it, you're kind of blocking out some of your perspective there in one way or another.
And you're trying to drive with one hand on the wheel. It's just madness. Don't do that, people.
Especially in a Minnesota winter. I'm guessing, too, that if they ever get to this point, that there would be some sort of a default for 911. Calls, you'd still be able to make an emergency call behind the wheel.
Yeah, but I'm a little nervous about the feds not letting me use my phone at all in the car, which I think would be a little
over the top.
It would be overreaching, but it's within the realm of possibility. I can sort of see that happening.
Yeah, an interesting time in which we live. You get additional technology, and you got to figure out ways to change all of this. But the bottom line is this story, as we're getting to, back to the beginning here. I think they're saying this about 6 months down the road from all U.S. Carriers having this, or the cell phone makers.
Yeah, you know, the Fed say 6 months, you know, give it a year, but eventually this will get into motion, and I see that as a generally good move.
Hey, quickly, before you go, Facebook pays $1 billion for Instagram.
I don't know how Instagram is worth $1 billion, but I'm happy Instagram will stick around because I'm a big fan of the service. And I get a little nervous when these really good services are sort of sitting off on their own, and you know, they run out of money and they close down. So I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but I'm a huge fan of Instagram. So on balance, I see this as a good move.
Okay. Good. That was one of the stories we kind of started out with today here on WCCO. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the insight. And also, you know, I appreciate your sharing your personal opinion on some of these topics, too,
I got a lot of those.
We'll be in touch again. Take care, Julio.
See ya.
All right. Julio Ojeda Zapata from the Pioneer Press talking about this. And what you'll eventually have to do then, let's say somebody, you know, does the snatch and grab there and dash or with your cell phone, then you just quickly call your carrier. Or, you know, send them a computer message if you need to, and they will just disable that phone, the hardware, no matter where it is. And as he said, you can wipe your phone now, currently, especially if you're an iPhone user. So, once again, oh, what was that? That was technology passing me by. It's 11:50. This is WCCO. John Hines with you here at News Radio 830 WCCO. I mentioned this earlier. Kurt Zellers will be a guest with Chad Hartman. I think that'll be in the 1 o'clock hour. 1 o'clock this afternoon. On WCCO at 110, put it in that ballpark somewhere. You can follow me on Twitter. I love to come in and read some of the top tweets from the previous day. Oftentimes they'll be relating to a subject. Here's a tweet yesterday. Men's Humor is a great Twitter handle to follow because they just throw out some of these random attempts at humor. I like this one. I can't imagine the amount of self-control it takes to work in a bubble wrap factory. I like that. You're the guy who makes bubble wrap. How do you keep from damaging the product as you're making it? Just one of those things. What else have I got here? Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm on Twitter. It's at Hines, WCCO. At Hines, H-I-N-E-S, W-C-C-O. You can also connect to my Facebook page, facebook.com/WCCO. No. That's wrong. Facebook.com/Hines Show. That's it. Facebook.com/Hines Show. HINESSHOW. Coming up, we're going to talk about Titanic 100 years after the fact. We'll have that discussion to share with you here on WCCO Radio. One final note before we go. This story just came out in the news, I think late yesterday or early this morning. We're talking about some internet and some technological things. 30% now of all internet traffic involves porn. Almost one third of all the internet traffic in the world involves porn. With the single biggest porno site trumping the traffic on CNN and ESPN three times over. Drawing 4.4 billion page views per month. I know. And here's the interesting thing. You go to CNN, you go to Google News, or some of these news sites you go to, or ESPN even, you maybe spend, what do they say, 3 to 4, 5 minutes in an average stay on one of those sites as you're looking around at the news stories. On a porn site, the average stay is 15 to 20 minutes. So the second largest porn site, they say, has 100 million page views daily. Somebody's going, what are the sites? What are the sites? It's not important, okay? You can look it up. If you just put in 30% of internet traffic is porn, it'll take you right to the story. Better that you get it from there than from me. This shouldn't come from me, you know? Let's leave sex education on the web where it belongs. No, but they say, and they, by the way, transfer 100 gigabytes per second on their computers. So considering the internet only moves an exact exabyte of data daily, there are dozens of websites where you can get Extreme Tech's 30% estimate that comes out. And then actually other sites consider that might be conservative. So Rick Santorum will fix that, though. That's his plan. That's going to get him elected. You're going to do away with
how many billion people?
With pornography. Yeah, well, 30% of all internet traffic. So you could take it from there. All right, Time to put our toys away. I'll say thanks very much to the Hammer. Thanks, Susan Blanche. Chad Hartman is coming up next here after 12 o'clock on WCCO Radio. John Williams will be taking a closer look and a follow-up to the shootings in Brooklyn Park yesterday. More on that to come here, too, on WCCO. You have a great day. Everybody meet back here tomorrow, and we'll do this again between 9 and noon. Thank you for being along with me.